This is episode number 539 with New York Times bestselling author Chris Guillebeau.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Maya Angelou said, "You can't use up creativity. The more you use it, the more you have." Welcome everyone to today's episode. I am riding high on the Summit of Greatness experience. We just had 1,000 people from around the world, 20 different countries, all come to Columbus, Ohio to embark on a journey to take on self-discovery in a new way and learn from some of the most inspirational speakers in the world. And wow, I am still on a high. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And we already sold almost 1,000 tickets for next year. That's how pumped people are to attend in the next year and are so excited about it. So thank you to everyone who showed up, who came, who danced their faces off. It was amazing. And what an experience we will always have. I'll do a full recap about the things that worked really well, what didn't work well, how the entire event worked, everything, what was profitable, what wasn't, all that stuff. We'll do a full recap another time. But I want to support Chris because he has a book out right now. And for those that don't know him, he is a New York Times bestselling author and modern day explorer. He's visited every country in the world before his 35th birthday. He's written a few books, The Art of Nonconformity, The $100 Startup, which was a New York Times bestseller and sold more than 500,000 copies worldwide. And he's written several New York Times bestselling books for entrepreneurs and founded the super popular World Domination Summit. And his new book is all about side hustle. So for those who aren't entrepreneurs, who work at a job, work at a career, and you're happy there, but you want to make more money on the side, this is for you. It's all about what are those things that you can have ownership in to develop your own side hustle to make an extra $500 a month, $1,000 a month, $5,000 a month. Some people sometimes transition completely and they're making multiple six figures with their side hustle. So this is all about how to choose the right side hustle for you and the entire process for choosing the most popular forms of side hustle and the benefits of each one. How we all make time for what is most important to us, why you must validate your idea before you actually go and implement. Also, the role your community plays in your side hustle. Guys, we talk about all this and so much more. Make sure to take a screenshot of this right now on your podcast app. Tag me at Lewis Howes and Chris Guillebeau over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and let me know that you're listening to this so I can have a conversation with you over on your Instagram story. Lauren Bartush posted a review this week along with many of you, and she is voted as the fan and review of the week. So I want to give a quick shout out to Lauren, who said, "I've listened to a ton of podcasts, and the School of Greatness is the only podcast I listen to every single day. I cannot start my day without listening to one of Lewis's incredible interviews or 5-Minute Fridays. The variety of people he brings to this podcast is incredible, and there is something for everyone. I feel the need to tell everyone I come in contact with about this podcast. Thank you for bringing all the incredible interviews and content to us listeners." So Lauren Bartush, thank you for being the fan and the review of the week. And if you guys want a chance to get shouted out on the podcast, make sure to head over to iTunes or your podcast app and leave a review over on the podcast. Okay, everyone who is on their side hustle, who wants to make more money on the side, or if you're working at a career and you just want to start making a little bit on the side, this is for you. Make sure to share it with your friends, lewishowes.com/539 to get the full show notes, the links, the full video interview with Chris, and share it with your friends. Without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, Chris Guillebeau.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. One of my favorite human beings, Chris Guillebeau, is in the house.
What's up, man?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, sir.
All the way from Seattle or Oregon?
Portland, Oregon.
But you were in Seattle before?
Seattle 2 days ago, but literally last night we were talking. This is a good story.
You texted me.
Literally last night, we've been trying to coordinate for this interview. Yes. And like all these different conflicts. And I know you're a busy man doing lots of stuff. And you were like, how about tomorrow? And I was like, tomorrow? Okay, this is like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And here I am.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And you're off in like an hour to go to San Diego.
Yeah.
So we got to get him to get his train. He's on the side hustle. And that's what his new book is called, Side Hustle from Idea to Income in 27 Days. The New York Times bestselling author, Chris Guillebeau. Now, you've been someone who's generate a lot of different streams of income over many years. You started, from my understanding, with your blog, and then you did these travel hacking guides, other guides as well that came with it. You have a membership site. You did books, courses. You have your famous World Domination Summit.
That yeah, is far too much, basically.
A lot of different things happening, yeah. And you've generated a lot of different revenue streams from a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Would you consider everything you've done a side hustle?
In one way or another.
Okay.
I think, well, to pick up where you started, I feel like at a certain point I decided, okay, I'm going to have this career as an author. Like I actually really like, you know, writing books. I love going out on the road to meet readers and now listeners to my podcast. But before I had the blog, I did 10 years of other random projects. I mean, I sold things on eBay and then I learned how to do business consulting and freelanced when I was living in West Africa and just all kinds of stuff. So I've been side hustling basically for 20 years and then writing about it in one way or another for 8 years. So, you know, last year I had this conversation with you and then I went out on tour. I went to about 30 cities and talked to people about like how to find the work you were meant to do. And it's kind of a little side note in that talk for like 1 minute. I would say, oh, and by the way, you should also have a side hustle, even if you love your job. It's just going to be good for you no matter what you do next, et cetera. Little side note. And then I noticed like afterwards, every event, people had so many questions about that. Like that's what they wanted to know about more than anything else.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of led us to this.
What is the ultimate side hustle?
The ultimate side hustle?
What is that?
I feel like it's whatever you want. I mean, I feel like the interesting thing about it is people have different goals for their side hustle.
Yeah.
And some people are trying to leave their job, you know, and they want to build income, you know, high enough or secure enough to where they can do that. Other people are happy in their job, but they love the idea of having a backup plan, or they like just saving money to pay off debt or to save for a vacation or something that they believe in. Other people want to do something that's creative, You know, like I talked to this guy last week who's a managerial accountant, and he's actually found a way to make $1,000 a month doing poetry slams.
No way.
Right? So the accountant / poet, you know? So it's a different creative outlet, but it's
also... How's he making money doing poetry slams?
He's like hosting these like workshops and all kinds of things. It's in Dubai, actually. He's working with the government of Dubai.
Wow. Crazy. And he's found a way to have a full-time job and then say, okay, on Saturdays, I'm doing poetry slams all day and that's my weekend.
And that's just one example. You know, the goal isn't to get everybody doing poetry slams, the goal is to find something that you're good at, right? To use the skills that you already have to create a second source of income or a third source of income or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the ultimate goal, I think, is your goal. Like, what do you want it to be?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it's about options. It's about freedom. It's about, you know, if I have this, you know, thing coming in that's separate from my paycheck. Like, it's great that I have the paycheck. I have that security, but it's so much more empowering to have something else coming in. And I just see over and over when I talk to people, if they haven't done this before, like the first time they do it, it just feels so great.
Yeah.
Like, I made $300. Like, they're just so, so excited about it. Mm. Right. And it kind of leads to more often.
You were talking about before that you said that Uber is not a side hustle. It's a part-time job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because
I've been telling people, like, hey, go Uber for like a day a week.
That's right.
Make some extra cash while you're working on your thing.
Sure. Well, here's what I think about it. I think of it as kind of like first level, like entry point entrepreneurship. It's not bad. I'm just kind of picking on them a little bit because they have this whole campaign of like, you know, drive for Uber, start your side hustle. The thing is, like, obviously it's better than doing lots of things. But ultimately, it is a part-time job because you have the schedule you want. That's good. That's the main benefit. But otherwise, you're living in their entire system. Mm. You're living in their ecosystem. They set the rules. They essentially cap your income.
You can't charge different than anyone
else.
Exactly.
You can't sell products and services. You're not supposed to sell products or services, you know, to your passengers. You're not really building an email list or anything else, no other form of asset. So it's not bad, of course, but I just encourage people, I'm trying to in this book, you know, to think a little bit differently and to say, okay, if you want that same thing, like you need the extra income, what can you create that has a potential to become an asset for you? Because I think that's more powerful.
Mm. What are some great examples? You have this new podcast that's been blowing up talking about the side hustle. So you get these stories coming in every single day, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people are submitting stuff.
Yeah.
What are some of the most inspiring examples of people that, because we, you know, I know you hear this a lot, just like I do. We're like, well, I don't know what I could do around surfing or, I just want to go to the beach every day. That's my thing I love to do. Right. So how do I build a side hustle around this?
Right.
So what are some examples that would dismantle anyone's, you know, opinions that you can't do what you love and make a little cash?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So every day on the show, I'm telling a different story if somebody does this in different ways, like you said. And my goal is to like highlight this range of stories to like, you know, kind of blow down the objections. So one story, and we were just talking about like a starter platform like Uber. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Turo? Turo is where you can like rent your car out to strangers. Basically, it's like the
Seen the app or something.
Yeah. Like the crowd sharing thing for your car.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So anyway, here in LA, this guy named Tassir was doing that for a little bit. You know, anybody who has a car can start this. And so he noticed like over time, his car is getting rented out like 25 days out of the month, basically. So it's almost like full time. He's making like $1,000 a month doing that. But then here's where it gets interesting. He's like, okay, what can I do next? So he went out and leased another car and then a third car. And he eventually leased a dozen cars.
No way.
Uh-huh. And turned it into this whole business. It's like $4,000 a month. Right?
This is kind of what people did with Airbnb. They would like rent out their apartment, then they'd get a second apartment, then they'd get multiple apartments.
Right.
And then regulations happened. Right,
yeah,
exactly. Now I'm screwed.
Yeah.
People did this early days with Uber as well.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, it's true.
When it was just black car service, I remember guys being like, I've got a fleet of black cars.
Right. And they get the referral bonuses that are like $500 or something each time and stuff.
Exactly.
You know? So here's another story. This young couple, they go on a cruise and they got a gift certificate from in-laws or something. And they actually went and had a good time, but they came back and the guy was a copywriter for his day job. And before he went on the cruise, he had all these questions that he couldn't find the answers to. It was like, can I watch Netflix on a cruise? Like he Googles it, doesn't get really good an answer. So he decides to create a blog. Like, and the blog consists entirely of answers to questions that people might ask about going on a cruise.
Really?
You know, he adds Google AdSense to that blog, which anyone can do. It's free. You know, you just kind of put it there in your little WordPress site. And in about 3 months, it's making $2,000 a month from that.
3 months?
Yeah, 3 months. And then within a year, it's like up to $4,000 a month. So this is something like, you know, you're kind of curious, right? You encounter a problem. I'm looking for this information, can't find it. Am I the only person who's looking for this information? Probably not, because a lot of people watch Netflix, like 100 million people, right? And a lot of people go on cruises. And then if it's Netflix, it's also like HBO. It's also this. There's probably other questions, you know, because like the cruise lines, they have their website, but that's propaganda. And then you have like the forums, you know, where people talk about cruises, but that's like a sea of information. I don't want to go into that. Like, I don't want to read 10,000 posts. I just want to get my answer. So he figures it out. So that's just one example. But like, you know, every day I'm telling a different story on the show, in the book. Like, it's a 27-day process. On each day, I'm showing a different story that's an example for someone.
Mm. Does it take a certain mentality to be able to apply this side hustle? If you're working at a company, can you, you know, is there a mindset that's like some people can and some people can't, or can anyone develop a side hustle mentality?
Yeah, great question.
Get $100 a month extra or something.
Great. Yeah, I even start with $500 a month. I'm like, that's my minimum. You know, I want you to make at least $500 a month, you know, if you read this book or listen to the show. I think not everyone wants it, first of all. So I think if anyone wants it, the first, you know, prerequisite is like you actually believe in this and you want this. Because most people that I'm trying to talk to, like on the show, they're really busy. Like, they're busy people. Mm-hmm. They don't have a ton of free time. They might have a family in addition to their job. They might be going to school. They might have two jobs, et cetera. So really limited time. But I guess they also believe that they want to invest in themselves. Right. They want to make some kind of change in their life. And that's probably why they're listening to this podcast. And so even though they don't have a lot of time, they're willing to take what time they do have and put into it. So I think that's the first thing. I think
if they want it.
Yeah, they have to want it. Yeah, first. Exactly. Yep. They have to want it. And then second, I think curiosity is kind of a common characteristic of people who do this. And curiosity is a skill that can be developed. Right. Just kind of being willing to observe different things, like the guy who went on the cruise or the guy who rented out his car, and, you know, story after story, it's like curious. And then the third thing would be taking action, right? Like, so I'm not just wondering about it, I'm actually going to do something about it, and not being like overwhelmed with, you know, I could do 10 different things, so how do I choose, you know? And like,
I hate that. Right, when someone says that to me, I don't know which one to choose, or they get caught up in the mechanics or the, you know, the technology or whatever it is, and then they never do anything.
Yeah. Well, they haven't been trained, you know, they don't come from that world, you know, so they're really skilled. The managerial accountant is really skilled in his work, you know, the software engineer, she's really skilled in her work, but you have to kind of acquire a mindset, as you said. You don't have to go out and learn like a ton of business skills. I mean, the whole idea is to focus on the skills you already have. But you might need to learn to kind of translate those skills or adapt them in a different way.
Mm. Mm. What's this Tinder for side hustle concept? What is this?
Tinder for side hustles. What is that? I think that relates to, I have this model in the book called a side hustle selector for people who are in that position of like, I've got too many ideas, I don't know what to choose. Mm-hmm. And I think I use this example of like the online dating industry, of like all these algorithms that they have. And, you know, their goal is to find like the perfect match, you know, for you to be a satisfied customer, you find the perfect match for whatever you happen to be looking for, right? And so the whole goal is to match you with your right side hustle. And so it's this really kind of intuitive process that anyone can do in 10 minutes. You know, when you have five ideas and you're like, how do I choose? You're going to write them down and rank them according to some different categories. And then your answer is likely going to emerge from there.
So if you have all the, too many ideas of like, I've got all these passions and things I could do, this is a thing you have in the book
that teaches you
how to decipher which is probably the most likely to succeed, or that's going to make you the most money, or what's...
Well, according to your own criteria, and it uses both like left brain and right brain thinking, which I think is really important. So it's analytical, it's logical. Like, your side hustle has to make sense, right? It has to make economic sense. There have to be people who want what you're offering, you know.
How do you figure that out?
Well, you start with looking at the skills you have, and you think about how those skills overlap, you know, with what people are interested in. You look for something that frustrates you, some kind of problem. Like, people are always asking, like, what's your passion? I encourage people to ask, like, what bothers you? Like, what are you upset about? What frustrates you? You know, that's one thing. And the other thing is, like, okay, if you have an idea, you need to turn that idea into an offer. Like, your idea has to become a product or a service, because people don't buy ideas.
So give me an example of that. What's that look like?
Let's take a new example. Let's see. I want to talk about Candy Hearts, but I'm going to save that one. There's a couple from Canada. Actually, he's from Canada and she's from Nepal originally. They meet in Europe. It's complicated. they go to Nepal for their honeymoon.
Yes.
And they go and see, like, they can buy cashmere there. That's like the source of cashmere. They can buy, you know, really affordably. Back in Canada and the States, it's really expensive. Like, there's a demand for it, you know? And so they're like, wonder what we could do with this. And they also like the idea of, like, doing something that supports girls' education in Nepal. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, short version is they don't invest a ton of money. They're not like trying to jump off a cliff. They invest like $1,000, you know, in cashmere. They come back to Nepal or back to Canada and sell that for like $5,000. They're like, great. Bad. Right. And then they go, so then they start building from there. Right. So at first it was an idea. It's like, you know, cashmere. Okay. Well, the more specific idea is like, I'm going to import cashmere scarves, you know, silk or whatever it is. I'm going to resell it, you know, to this market and so on.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
So I have a lot of stuff like that. I try to find stuff that's that different people can relate to, right? Because not everybody wants to be a reseller, you know? Not everybody wants to do, like, I have some stories about people doing t-shirts on Fulfilled by Amazon. Like, people who design t-shirts and never manufacture them, don't do any of their screen printing. It's all done, like, automated. And this one guy's making $100,000 a year doing it.
So just with designs.
Just designs. Just designs. Never touches a t-shirt.
How's he getting them out there on Amazon?
Amazon has a program called Fulfilled by Amazon, or really? FBA.
Where you can upload your own design.
And you can upload like 100 designs, right? And you see which ones sell. And then if 90 of them don't sell, you just do like 90 more. There's a whole lot of people doing this. It's a whole industry. So I write about that too.
You're just constantly creating new designs. How do people find the designs? How do they find the shirts?
Well, there's 200 million people on Amazon. That's the thing, right? So
they're looking for like an artistic shirt or t-shirt this way or whatever.
Well, so you think about keywords, right? You think about keywords, you think about something that's in the culture that comes out, some kind of phrase or something.
Nirvana, you know, yeah, images something, or whatever,
Right. Like, you're not supposed to do copyrighted stuff, but people do different whatever. Things. Anyway, so some people are really attracted to that kind of thing. Some people are like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm going to sit at my desk and like get a spreadsheet and like, you know, just kind of download all that stuff. Other people are like, no, I want to go to Nepal and buy something and bring it back. And, and other people are like, I want to be a coach. I want to be a consultant. Other people are like, would never want to do that, right? So the whole goal is to figure out, you know, this blend of like what you're good at, what your skills are, and then, you know, what other people value and how you can turn that into an offer.
Mm. What's the first few questions you would ask someone who says, I just want to make, $500 extra bucks? You know, what's the first thing you should ask them?
Okay.
Is it what are your skills or what do you like? Or is that the
Wrong
question?
I think first I would ask them about their goals. So you just identified a goal because everybody's goal is
500 to 1,000 bucks a month.
Yeah, 500 to 1,000 bucks a month. I think my second thing would be tell me just a little bit about yourself, you know, and we'll see kind of where that person starts. Because when you ask it like that, it's really interesting how people like respond. You know, what's the first or second or third thing that they say? And if that doesn't lead to anything like immediate, then I start talking about skills. You know, what are you good at? What do you like to do? What do people ask you about? That's a good one. Because sometimes people don't know what skills they have that are valuable or marketable. They think like, oh, I just went to school to be a dentist or whatever. You know, what do people ask you about all the time? Like, what are you the expert or the authority in? Sometimes people know what your skills and your strengths are like before you do.
Yeah.
So okay. I start kind of going down that road. And at a certain point, I'm usually talking about products or services. So there's kind of a divide there of like, okay, are we trying to make a product? Are you trying to provide a service? And just kind of like a little kind of logic tree you can down in 10 minutes, you can usually figure it out for people.
Product, service, or software, I guess. But no one wants to really build software.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to build an app, but nobody knows how to do it.
That's the hard problem. It is.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company
for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What do most people do you feel like do? Is it 50-50 product service or more people doing services because you don't have to develop a product?
Yeah.
You could do coaching or consulting.
I think services are probably more common.
Teaching lessons or something, yeah. Right?
I mean, services are probably more common, but a product could also be digital. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like something physical.
Right.
It could be a course. It could be something. Mm. A course is a product.
What about people who say, you know, I'm already working 70 hours a week. How am I going to make an extra $1,000 on the side? I already don't have the time. And how do I manage my time?
Yeah.
Do I do this at work? Do I do this in the morning? And, you know.
Of course, of course.
What do you tell about that?
I never want to tell people like what to do and how to you know, structure their time. But I guess what I notice is that we all make time for what's important to us. And most people, probably not all of them, but most people have some amount of free time, okay? And so I would just encourage you to not spend all your free time doing your side hustle, but spend some of it, right? Like maybe watch, you know, one TV show fewer or something.
Yeah.
Maybe get up 20 minutes earlier. I'm not telling you to get up 2 hours a day earlier, but I really think like 20 to 30 minutes a day, like over time consistently, is a lot better than like, you know, one Saturday a month trying to bang everything out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do believe if you have a process, which I'm trying to provide, you know, the 27, you know, step process, it's meant to be followed over 27 days, right? So day
one. One step a day.
Yeah. Day one, you do this. Day one is like basically like, what's your goal? You know, and then, you know, day two through five, we're helping people figure out how to get an idea and then helping people select, you know, from those ideas, then helping them create everything they need to deliver their product or create their service or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's all about launching it before you're ready. That's like step number four, week number four.
That's the most important thing in my mind.
Launching
to always launch. I always try to launch something before I even created it.
Yeah.
I say, this is what's coming out. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
You can get it for, I usually give a discount for people that buy when there's nothing to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, buy it now.
Yeah.
You'll get it in a few weeks. And if no one buys, I don't have to create anything.
Exactly. No, I know exactly what you mean. I've had some stories of people doing that and somebody had like a car guide, like a premium car guide or something. It was really expensive. And he was like, you know, purchase it now. But he didn't say like, I don't have it ready yet. You know?
Right.
He's like, I'm going to see what happens basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then three people bought it and he was like, okay, I got to make this. So he wrote to them and said something like, you know, you bought this guide and I know you're really excited about it. Want to let you know, like, you know, 2.0, the 2.0 version is coming in like 3 weeks.
So I'll get you that.
I'm going to get you a better version. It's going to be deluxe, et cetera. And if you want your money back now, then you can have that. Or you can just wait a little bit. I'm going to get you more, you know, and everybody just wait it out.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the greatest way to do it. So you don't analyze if it's going to work or not. You just test something and see if people want it. Even just try to get one client. Don't try to have your whole website designed and everything. Just say, hey, what's your biggest problem?
Yep.
Okay, let me help
solve
it.
That's good. And here's the other thing. Like what you learn to be like in side hustling is different from entrepreneurship and a lot of startup kind of stuff. And this is something where people get kind of hung up as well, I think. And so idea validation is another thing. Like how do I validate my idea? A lot of the episodes that I feature on the show and some of the stories in the book, there's no way to like validate the idea before you do it, basically. There's a woman, Jen Glantz from New Jersey, who was asked to be a bridesmaid by two of her friends on the same day. And one of her other friends said, wow, you're almost like a professional bridesmaid. And so then she's like, huh. And she wrote a Craigslist ad that same day and put it up. It's, I'm a professional bridesmaid. If you want to hire me, that kind of went viral. The next day she had 200 inquiries from people who wanted to hire her. And from women who wanted to do that as a career, basically. So she actually decided to like, let me see how far I can take this, right? And so she actually created this little business around it.
No way.
Bridesmaid for hire, made $200,000 in year one.
No way.
$200,000.
Come on.
So how do you validate that idea before you do it? You don't validate, you just do it. You just see what happens.
You put it out and you say Craigslist, hey.
Exactly.
You've never done it before. Wow, that's crazy.
You know?
Was she doing most of the money from herself actually showing up at the weddings? Or was it from teaching the other bridesmaids how to do it?
Yeah, good question. I think her main service was actually not the showing up or the teaching other people. It was, I don't know, it was kind of like virtual concierge. It was like, let me do some of that bridesmaid stuff, but from a distance. She does
like
actually
wedding planning.
Yeah, wedding planning, basically. Yeah,
yeah.
But it sounds better to be like bridesmaid for hire, you know. But it essentially was.
She was coordinating all the friends and doing all the planning for them.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
You know, she didn't actually have to show up still.
No, you had to pay more if you wanted that. right?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So she didn't have to deal with all the drama.
Of course, yeah. Well, I think that was part of the service she was offering. Like, if you want me to deal with some dramatic situation, I can do that, because that has value to people.
I wonder if she showed up to any of these weddings and was actually, like, holding, like, the flowers for the person.
I know she went to some. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting. That's kind of cool. Good for her.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, I want to shift a little bit and talk to me about community, because you've built this amazing event, World Domination Summit, since 2011. The numbers I have here, 10,000 people from more than 40 countries came. Is that right? Is there more people now?
I think 10,000 people come to Summit of Greatness every year, right?
I wish. Just about. I wish.
You've really crushed it with
that. Well, 1,000 this time. But,
that's fantastic.
So you've had 10,000 people roughly from all over the world. Mm-hmm. How important is building a community in order to develop a more powerful side hustle?
Okay. Great question. I almost see them as, there's a little bit of separation there. I think you don't have to build a community to make $1,000 a month, or even some of these projects that actually blow up and do $100,000 or more. You don't necessarily have to make a community to do that. So it's all about, again, what are your goals? Like, what's important to you?
Yeah.
To me, community has been very important, increasingly so. And I wrote this book and started the show in response to my community, because they kept saying, like, I want this, essentially. Like, I need a process to do it. So community is very important to me, but I don't necessarily think that everyone has to be community-focused for their side hustle.
So side hustle is essentially your side hustle based on what other people, right? Based on what people said, I need a process for a side hustle.
Right.
So you said, okay, I'm going to create a new side hustle for this
audience. That's good. I need to steal that answer, because people are always like, what's your side hustle, Chris? I'm like, I got 10 projects. I don't, 10 different things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And something you do is you're going on a 100-city tour for this book.
Are you coming?
I'm going to be there in LA.
Great.
September 20th, 7 o'clock, downtown, General Assembly.
Right. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Why do you go through so much? The only people that I know that do something close to this is minimalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a great job.
But why 100 cities? And is that within a year, or is that over extended time?
Yeah, that's going to be less than a year. Probably about 3 months for the first half and a couple months for the second half. So we're gonna front load it, of course.
It just seems exhausting.
Yeah, it's exhausting and awesome.
I'm
both.
Sure. I mean,
it's like a lot of things in life, right?
Yeah, of course.
A lot of things in life are exhausting and meaningful.
What's the most powerful thing that comes? Because you've done these big tours for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest one, right?
Yeah, this will be the biggest.
What's the most powerful thing that comes from doing a tour? Even if only 10 people show up at each event, if you're just starting out, obviously you're going to be blowing up more than that. But
some of my first events, I had 10 people showing up. I mean, my first book, I went to all 50 states, and there's not a lot of readers, at least in mine, in West Virginia or North Dakota, for example. But the thing is, the most powerful thing is the connection, because I still know some of those people from North Dakota from like 8 years ago. They're still following me. And I think it meant something in different places to go there, not saying I changed everybody's life or whatever, but just like I'm making these connections that kind of follow. And I do think they're closer connections than the ones we make online.
Wow.
Yeah.
What else comes from these experiences of the event?
Stories. I would say like $100 Startup. I wrote that book based off of that first tour that I did, because first book was Art of Nonconformity. I went to all 50 states. All along the way, I kept meeting these like accidental entrepreneurs, like people that were starting little businesses based off of something they love. And I was like, man, nobody is writing about these people. Mm. Everybody is writing about this Silicon Valley model. That's fine for some people, but like nobody is writing about these people in middle America who, just kind of create something for themselves. That's my market. That's my people, And so that whole book and that project and that changed my life. So there's just so much that comes out of it. World Domination Summit came out of that.
From touring.
Yeah. Wow. That's how I got people to come to the first event. I mean, it was on that first big tour and like personally invited everybody. Go to each city.
You built an email list from every stop, and then you just
I had an email list, but it was a personal invitation also, right? It was like, here I am in Lawrence, Kansas. We're doing this thing next summer called World Domination Summit. What is it? I'm not sure, but come next summer and find out. We need you, basically.
Wow, and you just sell tickets at all these different stops.
Yeah, we didn't sell tickets. It was more like just kind of getting interest. And so I always think about that when people like you've done very well with your event, but I always think when people come to me. Like, how did you get 1,000 people to come or whatever? They think it's easy. Like, think there's some magic trick. They're like, here's this blog post
it's really
I wrote.
Hard, man.
I'm like, I went to all 50 states. I personally invited them. Go and do that. And
I've done the digital version of what you did for the last year. Yeah. I've DM'd people one by one.
That's great.
Have you got a ticket to the Summit of Greatness
right,
yet?
That's great.
And continue the conversation and send video messages and photos, whatever.
So it's the same similar principle.
One by one is what sells tickets for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and then
for events in particular, which are challenging.
Why is it so hard to get people
to
show up?
It's a huge commitment. It's a huge commitment.
It's a lot of money for people, time,
it's
energy.
It's the travel and that, like, it has to align with their schedule and all kinds of stuff. And there's a lot of variables that kind of block out a lot of people.
For anyone who's thinking of doing an event, whether it be a small event, massive, whatever, weekend event, what does an event need to have magic? Whether it's like 10 people in a room or 10,000 people, what are the elements of curating and captivating magic?
Yeah, for us, we've always seen it as 50-50 of like what we do and what the community brings. Obviously, this is like a rough estimate, you know? But so the 50% that we bring, I think it's important to have a mission and a message. And to have like, here's what this is about. We're not telling everybody like what each expression is going to be and like how you should think or whatever, but like we're trying to put something forward here. We're trying to put forward an agenda. So I think that helps. And then like, as I said, the community, it's at least 50%.
Really?
Getting the right people. Don't you think? Like getting the right people together, I feel like there's a lot of magic to that. And
you think you attract the right people by having the mission out there in front and kind of like the experience of the website or whatever?
It's circular, right? And then maybe next year you attract people because of those people and, you know, vice versa, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
What do you think about every time you do it? You know, you do a big event every year. What do you think about for the next year? Is it, how do we make it bigger and better? Or is it, how do we make it different? Or how do we create something unique that's never been done? What is your process?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of those things. It's not so much about bigger. I mean, in the first few years, we were definitely kind of focused on that. But now it is about better. Like what worked? What went well? What do we want to do again? What do we want to change? And I want to make sure that we're always changing. Like we have to change. Like I never want to create like an insider's club where it's the same thing like all the time. So
What do you mean by that insider's club? Where it's
Insider's club, I guess what I mean is, and this has to do with like increasing the size, which we did from year one to year two and you guys have done. I think you guys basically doubled or something from first year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and when we did that, we had some resistance, you know, from some people in the community. Oh, it's too big. Oh, it's, you know, et cetera. The thing is, if it's the same people coming all the time, then you're not going to grow.
Yes.
You want the right combination of people who have like the institutional history.
Who've always been there.
That's good.
And the new people.
And the new people, right? You're going to reach new people. You want to, it's not just about you reaching people. You need those people to like bring new life to your event and your community, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who've never experienced it, who are like, oh, I'm seeing this for the first time. Yeah. And then others who are like, oh, let me show you the ropes.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we think about creating something unique. I try to have a theme each year. This year, our theme was building a better world, kind of in response to a lot of stuff that's been happening in the U.S. and elsewhere. How can we like take active steps individually and as a community to address issues of intolerance, discrimination, et cetera? But how can we obviously still have a lot of fun with our event and, you know, have a positive, you know, affirmative, adventurous message? So that was kind of our focus this year.
What was the biggest thing to open up for you, or that you took away from that, kind of focusing on that message?
Yeah, good question. The biggest thing I took away, I think for me, I was really happy that it worked. Like people responded well to it.
But it wasn't all about like entrepreneurial making money or something.
Yeah, but
like
it also was. But it also was good. Like it wasn't dry or boring, or you know, we didn't want to make people we want to make people uncomfortable in a good way, not in a bad way. You know, don't want people to ever feel judged or burdened in some way. So I think we talked about like creating empathy and surviving empathy, right? You want people to be empathetic and have an understanding for the issues of the world, but then like, what do we do with it rather than just going away feeling burdensome? So I think we tried to focus on that. I think we did a decent job.
Yeah.
Want to keep improving.
Yeah. It's great, man. What is something you think about a lot throughout your day-to-day life? Just something that's on your mind, something that either frustrates you or just you're constantly mindful about. What is that?
I tend to worry a lot.
About what?
I tend to worry about, I don't know, just my stuff, like what I'm making, what I'm doing, like am I improving? You know, am I just doing the same things over and over? Think about that. I try to have a gratitude practice, and we talked about that a little bit in our last conversation, and try to like write down several things each day that are amazing. And I feel like in my life and maybe most people's lives, like every day there's some amazing things and I tend to miss them. Like I tend to not take satisfaction in them. And so I'm trying to like do that a little bit.
What do you think you're missing?
Appreciation for it, or just the amazing, just the awareness of it. Like there's that sunset. Oh, great. You know, didn't see it. Well, oh well, you know, it's a nice sunset, you know. It's not just the sunset. It's also the emails. I got an email from somebody and they said like this cool thing, like, but am I just kind of skimming over it? And sometimes I have to kind of skim over some things, but like I try to want to let some reality kind of seep in, because I feel like you and me in particular, like we have like the greatest jobs in the world and we get to do this amazing thing, right? I never want to get too used to it. Maybe that's part of it. Like I worry I'm getting used to it. And so I keep trying to change stuff so that I'm not doing the same thing all the time.
And when you went on your journey, was it 10 years you traveled the world?
Yeah, 11 years.
11 years to see every country or almost, what's the criteria?
Some every country. Every country in the world,
Some Providence or something, you missed it, whatever, But every country you've been to, do you feel like you were able to be present in that journey? Or was it more like just to get to the next place,
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, it was 11 years. So I feel like I don't think I could say like I was present every moment. I don't think I could say it was negative every moment. There was just a lot of highs and lows and ups and downs with that. But I would say overall, I was just focused on the journey and all that.
What would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned this year so far, as the year's starting to come to the final quarter? What's opened up for you that you've that it is new that you didn't know about yourself or something?
Yeah. How long have you had this podcast? How many years?
Almost five. Four and three fourths.
Going on 5 years. Yeah. Biggest thing for me was last year I was like, okay, I need to catch up to, 2005 when podcasts, were a thing. And to you, 5 years later, I need to have a podcast, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I started Side Hustle School on January 1. And I was like, since I'm late to the party, I need to be a little different somehow.
Do it every day.
So I'm like, I'm going to do it every day. There's going to be no guests. Every day, no guests. And it's going to be less than 10 minutes long. Every day, I'm telling a story of somebody who starts a side hustle without quitting their job. And so there's been a lot of learning associated with that. This whole industry is new to me. This whole medium is new to me. Like, so I've looked up to you and other folks, Jonathan Fields and others who've been doing this a while.
Wow. And so what, you're 250 episodes in now or what?
Yeah, however many days we are in the year. Yeah, it's basically 250 right now, I think.
Crazy, man. You've already done half of what I've done in but 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You're going to get there.
Yeah, like, next year I might catch up.
You will, man. And what's opened up for you from doing the podcast? What's been, the biggest thing about that
I was surprised. I was legitimately surprised at the engagement and the response.
Amazing, right?
It is amazing. Gretchen Rubin told me this last summer. She was like, when I started my podcast, I didn't know if it would really bring me a new audience. People said that, but like, I already have a big audience. She started the podcast. It brought her a whole new audience. And that was the same for me as well. Really? I mean, I did, started doing these Side Hustle School workshops like the first month or second month, I think, in February. And I overheard people talking at one of them. It was really interesting. And they were like, how did you hear about Chris? And one of the people there was like, oh, I've been reading Chris's blog for 7 years. I flew in from Puerto Rico or whatever. And then somebody else is like, Chris has a blog? I didn't know that. Mm. I just heard about it from the podcast,
wow.
And I'm here. And so I've really been legitimately surprised and happy and pleased that it's brought like a whole new level of engagement with folks.
That's cool, man. That's very cool. What else do we need to know about the side hustle? Anything besides getting the book? You're doing these workshops as well?
The workshops are a little bit on pause right now since I have the 100 cities. But
that's kind of like a mini
small
workshop.
Thing. Yeah, small. It is. Yeah, I want people to come to the events. I mean, the book, the tour, it's sidehustleschool.com/tour.
Sidehustleschool.com/tour.
Yeah, well, that's for the tour, but it's just sidehustleschool.com for the podcast.
And you're pretty much doing like a little mini workshop at these. You're doing
Q&A. Yeah, of course. Yeah, come and hang out. We can have a conversation. I'm going to talk a little bit about this process. The 27-day, 5-week stuff. Or, of course, you can get it online or at your bookstore.
And do you create challenges for people too? Is it to make $500, $1,000 or $500 in the first 30 days? That's
the challenge? $500 a month is just like my minimum criteria, like to be featured on the show or to like to, when I say like what's a side hustle, because people have a hard time like defining that. And so I'm like, side hustle is income generating. It's not a hobby. It's not just something that you do, for fun. It actually is bringing you money. And let's say it's at least $500 a month. So, and hopefully it's going to be more.
Mm. Who's making the most side hustle where they still have a job and they're making?
Yeah, good question.
Where they didn't say, okay, I'm making enough to just do this.
Right. So this week, I actually had an episode of a guy who's a Target store manager who has a personal finance blog that's doing $45,000 a month.
What?
It's like $500,000 a year.
He still works at Target.
That was my question. That was the first thing I asked him. I'm like, so why are you still at Target? And apparently he's going to quit soon.
Oh, okay.
But he's been building this blog for 5 years. So it's great because you hear like, $500,000 a year. Oh my God. But he's been building it. Like he has been building this. Like he actually started as a Target associate. So this is kind of like a concurrent path.
Wow.
He starts as a Target associate while he's in college. And like then he becomes like assistant manager and like eventually he's a store manager. Simultaneously, he starts this blog about personal finance. First year, not much happens. Second year, he gets to be a better writer. Third year, he's learning more about his community. you know, year four, he's learning a lot more about monetization. Now year five, it's, you know, $500,000 a year, and he's going to quit that job at Target. So that's a lot.
And he's writing about personal finance.
Yeah, I don't even know specifically what he's. That's a, you know, that's an industry in which kind of lends itself toward various products and services in which you can make money from.
Or affiliate marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
I think he's focused on college students. Now that I think about it, he's focused on helping college students, you know, manage their money better.
Love it, man. Okay, last couple questions for you. Make sure you guys go get Side Hustle. Check it out, sidehustleschool.com for the podcast, the book, resources, all the book tour, everything else. I can't remember what you said last time on the three truths, so I'm going to ask it again. Maybe it's different.
I haven't actually been prepared, so good.
Yeah, so if it was the last day and everything you've created is gone,
okay,
so no one has access to any of your podcasts or books, all the hard work for nothing, right?
Yeah.
But you have a piece of paper and a pen to write down three truths that the world would...
Wow, this is like the presidential letter, you know, passing it on to the administration.
Exactly.
Three truths.
Three lessons that you've learned
life,
three truths that's all people would have to be remembering you of.
Yeah, okay. Number one, don't worry too much about the things you're not good at. Because you could spend a lot of time trying to get to like mediocre level or you could worry about what you're actually good at, you know, and change the world doing that. Number two, at some point in your life, like if you've had like a rebellious personality or an upbringing like I did, perhaps it's not going to apply to everyone, but if you've had that, people are going to try to soften it and you might even like feel like you should soften it at a certain point, but don't do that, you know, cause that's there for a reason. It's not to say you're supposed to be out like breaking the law or being rude to people, but that personality is there for a reason and that rebellion can serve you well. So that's number one. Number two, man, number three. Don't give up, you know, hang in there. Right?
Yeah. I want to acknowledge you, Chris, for constantly giving. You give to your community. You create great resources for people that help them with a big pain and challenge they have. The books you offer, the podcasts, you make challenging concepts easy for people to be able to implement in their life. So I want to acknowledge you for all value you bring to the world, man. You're making a massive impact. Final question, which I've asked you before, is what's your definition of greatness?
Don't even remember what I said on our last one.
It always changes sometimes.
Yeah, that's
good.
I think I probably said something about like, you know, tomorrow is better than today, right? You know, I know it's so bad, right?
Who knows?
It's a platitude.
What is it now? Is it the same thing?
I don't know. I mean, so maybe that sounds kind of weird, but I guess the principle is still kind of there that like the best is yet to come. I do say that a fair often. You know, like the best is yet to come. Like no matter what I've done, no matter what I've achieved or... you know, succeeded in, hopefully, like my greatest challenges are actually ahead. And I think greatness relates to challenge. I think greatness relates to striving. And that's why we talked about, like, isn't the tour exhausting? Well, of course it's exhausting. We wouldn't have it any other way, you know?
Yeah. Chris, thanks, man. Appreciate
Lewis,
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All my side hustlers in the house, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Love connecting with Chris. I'm so glad he was willing to share so much. Make sure to pick up a copy of his new book, Side Hustle. He spoke at the Summit of Greatness and he blew the audience away and sold a ton of copies at the event. So again, make sure to share out this link, lewishouse.com/539 with your friends. Tag me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and tag Chris as well. All of his information is back at the show notes, as I'm sure he would appreciate hearing your feedback on what you learned the most about this interview. All right, my family, I hope you enjoyed this one. We've had some massive podcast episodes over the last few weeks. We had Brendan Burchard. We had Brené Brown. We've got Chris Guillebeau. We've got some incredible people coming up, Gretchen Rubin, and some new people I want to introduce to you to. So thank you so much for being a part of this movement. We are continually bringing in the most powerful and inspirational people in the world for you to learn from, for us to grow from, and for us to implement their wisdom so we can live a better life. I love you guys very much. And as Maya Angelou said, you can't use up creativity. The more you use, the more you have. Thank you so much for being a part of this movement of greatness. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.